First of all, we want to say good afternoon. Now, that's weak. That is weak. Good afternoon. Now, great. We want to welcome to Association of Multicultural Counseling. That's not counseling. Association of Multicultural Concerns. And we're going to have something that will interest you, something that will inspire you, but most of all, something that will challenge you. So now let's see. Foster, you're in the house. And I think Jacqueline's in the house. Look around the room. Everybody that's ready, willing, and able to go to work, raise your hands. Looking good? Okay, Dr. Jones, you got a good-looking audience. Right now, we want to say an invocation and bless the food that we are about to receive. Father, first of all, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestowed upon each and every one of us and upon the households from which we come. We ask your blessings upon this food. May it be nourishing to our bodies and in no ways harmful. These and other blessings we ask. Amen. We're going to introduce our, really it's not a keynote speaker, but our keynote coordinator is none other than Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones is a graduate of the Greater Wesleyan College University, where he received his doctorate in counseling and guidance. And he is a specialist working with the Department of Corrections. So he has an opportunity to look at people who need help. And guess what? Look around you. You are also have an opportunity to help people who need help. And his presentation today is going to get down to some nitty-gritties. So get ready, roll up your seed, enjoy your food. We will hear from Dr. Jones.
In the interest of time, because we need to be out of here at least by 1:15, and the general session starts at 1:30. What I'd like for us to do is to, first of all, is to go around and introduce ourselves so we will know who is in attendance. The worst thing in the world is to come to a meeting or to come to a luncheon, and you're going through your own hard drive, say, that sound like so-and-so. I think that was so-and-so. So we don't have to think. We're going to go around and just introduce ourselves briefly. And I'm Martin Jones.
Teddy Joy Remhild.
Monique McCorley.
Foster Brown.
Jacqueline Jackson.
Jeff Tongham.
Louis Preston.
My name is Pete Romero.
Dirk Neihart.
My name is Alicia Carrillo.
Kathy Benoa.
Tom Thompson.
Lupi Medrano.
Once again, I want to say good afternoon to everyone. And as you begin to listen at what I am speaking about, I want you to think about, do I really want to work with this? How soon can I start working with this? And I want you to picture yourself as a kid, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and you are in a developing country, congenital cataracts, parents don't have any money for surgery, but here comes the Lions Club, they help with surgery, now you've got glaucoma, extremely low vision, and all your parents want for you is to have a better start in your life than they have had. Their daily worry is, how will my child be able to make it? How will my child be able to make it? How will my child be able to make it? And as you sit and you think about this child, then you look at the probabilities of the parents being able to find a school that is a distance away from home, 25, 30, 40, 50, maybe 150 miles away from home. I'm doing this for my child because I want my child to have a better life. I don't think that my child will be able to make it in our village and in our neighborhood, being a blind child. The question raised in my mind is that as we as members of multicultural concerns, a great effort that we can make to help that child and all children is helping that child to get some of the needs that they wish to have at those beginning years, first grade, second grade, third grade, sixth grade, 12th grade. You have a better outlook on life when you know what is ahead for you. But now, what happens is that from where we sit, we need to know what is our plan. Here recently I spoke with Perkins School in Watertown, Massachusetts, with the probabilities of us being able to donate Braille writers to the country of Mexico, Jamaica, which covers from Venezuela all the way up for the school for the blind at Salvation Army School there. And in my conversations with the gentleman who goes to Africa at least 6 times a year, he stated that the ideal country in Africa would be Kenya. So now you say to yourselves, why Salvation Army schools? Why a school for the blind? In my conversations with him is that that's where you would have much more stability for the items that we would donate. And in conversations with others, they were saying, what about styluses and slates? Well, he stated that youth prefer Braille writers rather than styluses and slates. But nevertheless, stylets and slates can be purchased from a broker in China for about $10. He said, but what I want to tell you, Dr. Jones, is that those stylets and slates are plastic. And everyone prefers stylets and slates from America because they are metal and they are much more sturdy. And what we have in mind is us being able to make a dent in this child or these kids' educational aspirations. meaning that one Braille writer would cost $400 brand new. One Braille writer. What we were looking at is the probabilities of getting six Braille writers and donating them to each of those areas, Caribbean, Mexico, and Africa. Two Braille writers. Some of you all who are very enthusiastic, you're going to say, well, we can do more than six. We can do 56. Well, I am going to start with small steps, and if you can make giant steps, we appreciate it. But nevertheless, what we are talking about is that two clubs can come together and say that we will assist in purchasing two Braille writers. Other clubs can say that we will assist in purchasing one Braille writer. What happens is that Perkins, when we make the purchase through Perkins, they will give us the discount. They will take care of all shipping and handling. It is important when you send things to other countries that you send it to a stabilized broker that everything will work out correctly. Now, the question raised in your mind is that how and when will this start? What we are doing here is putting out a seed for you to think about. We're putting out information for you to take and grind it up and make it into something worthy. In my conversations with the board, ANC board, and others, is that as we begin to put this idea together, certainly we will ask brothers and sisters of the CCB and even community-wide to help us to reach our goal. I haven't asked the individual who's going to help us with fundraising, but I may as well ask them so they can get indigestion early. That individual just left, and they're on the right hand of Foster Brown. And so we're going to ask her to assist us with fundraising. Guessing is bad, but to who's sitting on the side of you, Foster?
Which side? On
your right, Foster. And Jacqueline is out of San Diego, right? Jacqueline, can we have your support in assisting us with this? We deeply appreciate that. Let's give Jacqueline a well-rounded applause. Now, a lot of people are going to want to be on various committees to assist us with this. My heartfelt decision about this. This is not an idea to be a banner waver to say, I'm on this committee, and not do any work. We want you to volunteer, but we want you to work. And in your working, we want you to think about the Braille writer that ordinarily that you put in your corner that you said that heavy old thing. Who needs it? That Braille writer is most resourceful to someone who can afford it. To that school that can assist someone to use it. Some are going to say, well, I have two Braille writers at home and they need repair. What about them? We will even accept those so they can get repaired and go. But of course, we want to get the sixth new Braille writers that we're speaking about off and on the way. We plan to have a conference call And it's good that Jeff is here because that way I don't have to ask him for permission. And that's in the third week of July, where we can further refine this idea. Now, some are going to say, well, I know so-and-so and so-and-so. They're in such-and-such country. We need not to reinvent the wheel. We need to give resources where something is being done. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And to see the smiles and to feel the thank you of those kids that one Braille writer may pay enough money for a meal for a month. But we're putting that Braille writer in that school where another child will have a workstation. Some say, what about paper? Well, in my conversations with Watertown is that kids prefer paper from the United States because it's thicker and the dots hold better. But in my conversation with him, he said, you do better getting paper from their countries is because you don't want to get into a weight issue. A weight issue. So not unless we're sitting here with somebody whose dad owns a pulp mill and they're going to send so many reams of paper, then paper is going to be extremely difficult for us to send. I do a lot of talking, and I could go on and on. But I want to remember that Jeff is going to leave at 1:15, and I want us to have some decisions made before 1 o'clock. And I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts, and will you participate? And we're going to start with the back table first. Speak out loud so we don't have to interrupt Foster in his meal. Go ahead, please.
Would it be possible to just send a donation in? Is that one way to contribute?
Yes, that will be one way to contribute. There will be donations requested of individuals and of clubs.
My name is Alicia. I'm in the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. Another question that I was thinking of, oh boy, besides sending in a donation, do you have anything in writing that we could take with us today to take to other people to share this with them?
I'm glad that you brought that up, is because I don't believe in doing anything without something in writing. I wanted to give you an overview of my conversation. And I was to have received an email from him. He was leaving for Africa the same evening. I didn't get the email. But before we move on anything, I am going to get an email. I'm going to get cost estimates. I'm going to get everything from A to Z. It's because we want to know where our money is going, and we would like to know what our energies will be focused to. So you will get that. You will get that.
Hello. My name is Lupi Medrano. I'm the immediate past president of Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. I don't have much authority, but I will bring it up to my chapter that maybe we can help in purchasing two of those Braille writers. I said I don't have authority, but I don't want anybody jumping down my throat for making this suggestion. But I will suggest it to my chapter.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'll back her up
100%. I'm Kathy Benola. I'm in the same chapter as Lupi, and I help the chapter whenever I can in anything they need, like selling candies. And any other way I can help, I do.
Thank you.
Okay, what about you, sir?
Hi. Dirk Knight. Chapter of the United Nations Association. And we have more resources we can share with you than those six goals Dr. Jones mentioned. Also, I am thinking that on fundraising, sitting from foundations is a good idea, and also working in collaboration with groups, for example, AFSC and the Lutheran crowd, and even the Unitarian Universalist, all have working in foreign countries.
Fabulous suggestions. You need to be on the committee.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, since Jacqueline had asked if the Inland Empire chapter, we would work with them to help work purchase one. So we'll most definitely help to work on purchasing a Braille writer.
Thank you. Anybody else had a comment?
Well, we're giving the mic to our leader right here. Jeff is next. Oh,
yeah.
Jeff Preston.
You heard anything? I may be able to assist in one way, maybe more than one, but in order to potentially expedite the information flow from Perkins, I can go through my contacts when I find out who you talked with, because I have a couple friends who work at Perkins for a long, long time, and so I may be able to expedite some of the flow of information that you need. And I'll do that, and you know, I can't commit to anything from my chapter, but it's certainly something that, you know, I'd certainly take to my chapter, sure, too.
I was able to get the assistance of Chris Gray, and Chris Gray referred me to someone at Perkins. Then there's the World Blind Union. Right. So any help that we can get to make this work, it's appreciated.
This is Jacqueline Jackson, and one thing about fundraising, it's about relationships. So we need we need the Chris relationships, we need Jeff Tom's relationships, because it's going to make the process a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Fundraising is about relationships, and Jeff offered some contacts that he has with Perkins. So relationships are going to make this fundraising activity a lot easier. And hopefully, Dr. Jones, you have a goal of how many Braille writers, what we are looking for, so we can shoot for our goals and achieve those goals.
There are so many ideas that cross our minds. But one of the things that we really need is a source of recording the ideas. And I don't know how freely Jacqueline is about giving up her number as a contact number. But when you think about that idea, we need to have someone to be able to say, hey, I just thought of this. I just met this person. Hey, can you follow up on this? In terms of what I will take to my chapter is the whole idea that what can we do individually as members of chapters so that each person feels as though they are a part of this. And I would suggest this happen in all chapters. Maybe a person can't do anything at all at that particular time for a particular reason. But if we let all of our chapter members feel as though they are involved in it, then it becomes a universal project, so to speak. And we just in the conversations that we've heard already, we're saying that there are resources in this room. But there are also a whole lot more resources outside of the room. So whether it's at our fall convention, where we have an announcement that's going to be made at all of the different sessions, or whether it's at this convention, we need to spread the word. It has taken place. It's off and running. It has already started, and you were here. You heard it. You're participants in it. So we're on the move.
Now, I want you to remember that we are in the talking stages about what was thrown out today. But also, too, now, we remember the commitment that you stated, if you can get in agreement with it from your chapter, about what you will do. But also, too, we're going to ask Foster Brown, since he has a tape recorder, if he would merely make a hard copy of our meeting and of what was discussed today, so it can be one of the materials that folks will have an opportunity to refer to. Nothing will be valid until we get the proper information, until we all agree on it. We want to make sure and certain that everything is crystal clear. Any questions of me? Any questions?
I have one, Dr. Jones. This is Jacqueline Jackson. And I don't know the proper protocol because I'm relatively new to the convention. But I'm going to give you just a glimpse of something you're going to hear this evening. I've accepted a challenge already to chair the Friends of the CCB, which you will hear about that this evening. I don't want to give you a lot of details about that, but I'm committed, Jeff, to trying to raise $100,000 for our organization. That's a personal commitment that I have. And so, and together, you hear, together we're going to do this, and it's going to be wonderful and easy an exciting time for us. So I really need a co-chair for this activity. I will, like I said, I would work with you getting the Braille writers and things that we need to do. And but I need a co-chair because I am chairing this other group. So I did not want to tell this group, no, I'm really passionate about what you're wanting to do. And there's lots of money out there and lots of opportunities. But I also need you to be friends of the CCB.
I agree with you, Jacqueline, and we do have a co-chair for you, and the co-chair sits to the left of you. So, Foster, can we have, is it all right if you are the co-chair for what we're trying to do?
Most definitely. I was also, it's funny you should mention this because there's a Braille social group in Riverside and they meet and they actually gave away, they actually gave a Braille transcriber to a child in Mexico. So that was inspiring me to want to do something like what you're talking about in our chapter. So this is a great opportunity. So I most definitely accept that position.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I don't want anybody at the other tables to say, I would like to do so and so, but he didn't call on me. Is there anybody else who would like to help her?
This is Lupi Medrano again from Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. And I just wanted to ask Dr. Jones, what is the price tag on these Braille writers of just one?
The price that I was given was $400.
Very good. Thank you.
That's the price I was given. But don't worry about the price because I am going to get everything in writing so you will have something that you know what the price is and it comes directly from them on their letterhead. But in our phone conversation, $400. As Jeff would say, it's only hearsay now. Any other questions? Now, Lewis has agreed to be in charge of public relations. But now we need someone at the other table to be Lewis's assistant in public relations. Is there anybody from Silicon Valley who would like to be Lewis' assistant in public relations? Don't everybody say it at the same time. What does that entail, Lou? Public relations.
In terms of public relations, you're talking about communication to groups, to organizations, and to individuals that normally wouldn't even hear about this. Because if this remains the best-kept secret, then guess what? The outcome is going to be a secret, too. And we don't want that to happen. So whether we're talking about press releases, whether we're talking about, we heard a lot of talk about our beautiful, wonderful website. What role will the website play in publicizing this as a project of multicultural counseling? So we're talking about looking at the whole spectrum of communication. We're talking about whether it's something that, and Jeff probably is more aware of this, but what role could Chamber of Commerce play? Would it be possible to give information to Chamber of Commerce? Now, we're talking about all of the chapters giving something to their individual Chamber of Commerce. Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, artist
has been recruited.
Excuse
somebody
me,
be sure and tell her.
This is Lupi Medrano again. I was just going to ask that I can't do very much, but I can commit to making phone calls. If you want to make phone calls to somebody or connect somebody to somebody else, I can help in that manner. I can't do much, but I will commit to making phone calls. I can help you in that part. Lupi Medrano from Silicon Valley, immediate past president.
My name is Alicia, and I'm also from the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. I have a question regarding, and I understand that right now, currently, that is working with this project. Do any of you have contacts or experience in international shipping and how that works?
The beauty about what we are doing and what we will do is that we will not have to worry about the shipping. All of our items will be purchased through Perkins, who has a network already that's constantly shipping things overseas. So we don't have to worry about that end of it at all.
Great,
and I appreciate, you know, you thinking about that, because that is most problematic if you're starting out and you're trying to get something overseas. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. It's just because I have contacts and people have had experience with
yeah,
it. Yeah,
we've got contact. We've
Thank
got
you.
Contact.
Great.
And when I get the information from Watertown, I'm going to have information about their credibility. And anybody that's been dealing with Braille materials and things of that, they have a long-term history of working with the blindness community. Are there any further questions? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if there are not any further questions, you will look to get something to your chapters in the mail after we have gotten the information, and you can tell everybody in your chapter that you were first to read the special delivery. But there will be something coming, and again, we want to have a conference call that's going to be the third week in July. But we want to get all of our written facts together. And if you have any suggestions as you talk to others about it, I'd like if you would mail your suggestions to, what's your address again, Foster?
Okay, you can mail your questions to Foster Brown, P.O. Box 172, Riverside, California 92502. I'll repeat that one more time. Foster Brown, P.O. Box 172, Riverside, California 92502.
You know, the reason for doing that is that oftentimes we go places and just as we leave, the next day say, I wish, I could have, I should have. And what we've just done, we've given you an address where you can fulfill all those wishes, all those could haves, and all those should haves. So what we are saying, everything that you think that we ought to be aware of, put it on paper and send it to Foster Brown. So, ladies and gentlemen, if there are no further comments, you had anything you wanted to say, Lewis?
I just want to get sort of a tally. How many people are here? I don't know, but two-sided people, so I keep picking on Jacqueline and Foster. Okay, we got 16 people here. Okay. I need that information for our first press release.
Thank you very much for your listening. Thank you very much.
And, of course, we have our California connection, but it's about timing. So in all in good time, you'll see more and more of it. But you remember that you were here. President of Multicultural Lillian Scafie wasn't able to make it, but she's the one that gave Dr. Jones the go-ahead signal to put this idea out and to present it at this. So we're going to look forward in October to hopefully everybody that's here today will be able to make it to Los Angeles. But if not, we're going to make sure that we stay in touch with you.
Hi, folks. I have one more concern, and that is for next year. I hope Dr. Jones can address us about blind people in the criminal or the law and order racket, and whether prisoners are getting braille notes and braille readers in prison, and the culture of blind prisoners.
You know, I would be delighted to talk about that. We have a not only blind residents or inmates, as you would call them, we have a number of disabled offenders. And just as I talk with those brothers and sisters about them wanting to be in the criminal element, I let them know, and it may sound raw to you, I say, you're a disgrace to the disabled community. And you say, what are you saying? I say, when you go out, for instance, there was a robbery that happened last week of somebody who was a wheelchair user, robbed a bank. And I tell folks, I say, when you do those type of things, you make it extremely difficult for we members of the disabled community who are trying to break ground for better employment, break ground for housing, and make it possible for us to get even an honest way to live. And I say, when this comes up with what you're doing, I say, it puts us behind. And when you look at the state of California, with reference to disabled offenders, education is made available to them. Jobs are made available to them. But I think what we need to focus on, my brother, when we talk about disabled offenders, you know, a lot of us disabled people, we don't like to hear this, but we have gotten too comfortable. We get our SSI. We get our government or our homes that might with government subsidies. And we don't want to think about work no more. We don't want to think about employment or going to school anymore. All we want to do is think about mixing and matching. During the day, use our kitchen for cooking up crack. During the day, we want to run prostitution. During the day, if we're wheelchair users, for some that have to sit on that tube, and when you raise up under that tube, they got a Glock in the tube. And like I tell men and women who are involved in that type of lifestyle, is that we have to find a better way. We have to find a better way. We have to find a better way. Education system in jails and prisons is much better in California than it is in Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, all of those places. There's no reason for a man to go in one way and come back out the same way. The only way and only reason why people come back out the same way is because they want to do cell time and not educational time. I tell everybody you're going to prison for X amount of years, that's the breaks of it. What you do, run to school. Get in the class. Get in the class. Well, I got enough education. Go to a vocational shop. Tell somebody who is disabled, I say there's still a job for you to do, because I know people who are wheelchair users, people who are on respirators, people who can't see, people who are deaf. They're trying to get work, and you're running from work. You know, and my thing is, my brother, is that what happens is that some of my disabled offenders, when they finally get their SSI payment after 6-7 months, and they get all that money, instead of putting it to a resourceful venture, they want to flip it. And they'll come to me and say, Doc, I got $6,000. I'm going to flip this, do this, I'm going to do this. Say, what you think? Nothing. What do you mean? Why don't you think about flipping, going to rehab, getting involved in some type of training? Why don't you think about flipping, going to work at McDonald's a couple of days a week? Going to do some type of work, you know? And what we have to tell our brothers and sisters, that we know that we know that we know that we know that they are offenders, because there is a lot of substance abuse in a disabled community. We have to tell them to run to a meeting. Run to a meeting. There is a lot of lack of anger management in a disabled community. We have to tell them, just because you're disabled, you cannot treat folks any kind of way and expect to have a glad hand. It's because when it goes down, you can get smacked just as well as anybody else. And we have to start being honest with one another. If I come here and I get drunk and I'm sloppy drunk, falling all over the place, it's up to you as a member of my community to say, look, bro, say, I love you, but you know something? You disgraced yourself last night. You need to work on that. You need some help. But you know what we'll do? We'll cover our mouths and get to the phone and say, did you see her? Ooh, did you see him? Ooh. And what I'm saying to you, us, and we, if anybody can police our community, it's us. certainly we have a lot of mental health issues in any prison, in the jail. But now, let's be realistic again. I'm saying this to a disabled population, is that you know just as well as I do, some of that mental health issue stuff is nothing but game. Because when I see you coming in my office and you're trying to act like a J-cat, meaning a crazy person, I close the door and I say, hey, sit down. Say, you go play that with them outside. Don't come in here with that. Well, that guy, I said, don't do that. Don't do that. I said, now, if you really like that, I can knock this phone off the hook and somebody come in here and see you. Say, because I don't work with no disciplinary problems. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. What I'm saying is that we have to do it. When we close our eyes and we see the amount of disabled people who are sitting on corners talking about I'm hungry. But on the under, at night, they go back to their subsidized apartment and have a drink of scotch. What I'm saying is that we got to stop the hustle, folks. We got to stop the hustle. Sitting in a wheelchair talking about I'm a disabled vet. Please help me. Please help me. We know that's a hustle. Anytime somebody tells me that and I'm with them, I say, just bring me to that person. A lady I saw in my neighborhood, I say, hey, baby. She said, yeah. I say, look. I say, you take that hustle somewhere else. Don't come around here with that hustle. She said, I think I knew you. I said, yes, you do know me. Ooh, I'm through. But what I'm saying is not to intimidate nobody, but we need to call one another on our stuff. We need to do it. We need to do it. Am I making sense? You know, and we've got, even in our jail system, if you didn't finish high school, we got charter school, you can go to school. You got anger management problems, you got anger courses. We got all types of stuff to help somebody. But you know, some of us, like I tell people, it takes you time to get on it and it takes you time to get off it. Some of us choose to be on the pity pot. Some of us choose to be on the pity pot. When I could not see the printed word, I tried all I could, put the book almost into my mouth, trying to see the printed word. But when I was able to acquire something to help me to see the printed word, I was most appreciative, and I had no problem of putting something up against my face again. Then when I saw somebody else with the same symptoms, I say, hey, bro, look, this is what you do. And what I'm saying is that we have to be about reaching out for one another. That's what we're doing about these Braille writers, y'all. Reaching out for the little kids. Because the most heaviest heart is a parent with a child, and they're wondering, how can that child get help? And where will that child be when they die? Will that child or will my child be able to get a job like other people? That's what folks, that's how they feel. But did I answer your question, brother? Because I can go on and I don't want to. I've been with the San Francisco Sheriff's Department since 1978. In the time that I've been with our department, I'm only knowledgeable of 5 blind prisoners coming to our jail. Out of the 5, there have only been 2 Braille readers. When I say 2 Braille readers, meaning that's all they do is read Braille. 2. Now, in answer to your question, the way our system works, if you're deaf, you get a translator. You get somebody, if you just read lips, they can help you with that, or if you just sign. If you're blind, Your attorney will go over everything with you, and if you choose to have your information in Braille, it can and it will be transcribed for you. That's law. But the average person that's off in the street, like I tell fellas, is that when I see them in a dorm or in the pod, then they're blind. But when they're out on the street selling crack or using heroin, they can see everything. But when I see them in jail, Doc, you know, I'm blind, you know. I say, you are? Yeah. I say, how long you been blind, bro? Well, I've been blind all my life. I say, yeah, huh? I say, well, look. I say, were you blind when you were caught selling an ounce? He said, Doc, you cold? Yeah. But what I am saying is that you find, I would say throughout the state system, you may not have no more than 25 totally blind people that use Braille. And if you have that many, they're at Vacaville. And those individuals that are at Vacaville, there's everything that they need to deal with as far as Braille. No problem. They do the transcribing at Vacaville and then also at Folsom. But did I answer your question? Because, again, I'm going off. You need to request. A closed mouth don't get fed. You need to request. You know, there are some people who are blind that don't want Braille. So you got to request it. You know, I keep about 40 volumes of my father's books in my office. Somebody come through this brand. I give him a book. I gave a book to a woman that just got out. She said, oh, no, Doc, I don't want none of this. I said, don't you read? I don't need this. I said, okay. I said, thank you. She said, I'm glad you told me rather than throw it away in the garbage can. You know. So what you have to remember is that folks want to camouflage their identities until it's time for sentencing. When it's time for sentencing, then, you know, I have a leaky heart. In my heart falls a loose judge. Please give me time. You know? Meaning that falling on the mercies of the court to give them every type of thing that they can be on a pity pot with. Do I have any other question? I hear some people mumbling over there. Talk to me. I'm a saxophone player. Alto. Let me say what I was talking with Johnson, who is from Unified School District, LA, Keith, and what we're going to try and do is put something together for the 75th, because we have enough musicians that we can put a dance together for the 75th. But don't go put that on the wire until we get it together, okay? We don't need no publicity agents for that at all. That's next year. Next year. Yeah. Any other question? Yes, ma'am. I would think that that is something to think about. I would think that, first of all, let us get the horses out the gate. Let us do what we have pledged to do. Let us put it into action. And once we put it into action, we will get help coming from so many different ways until you'll say, gee, I never thought that it would have been this way. All of that type of thing, we need to talk about that. And that's why I said that on the third week of July, we'll talk about that. That's why I said any questions, just like what you said, they should write that down and send it to Foster. That, you know, those are good questions. Those are things that we need to consider. Again, it's a delight. It's a delight. And